Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. For today is part two of a special two-part interview that we are having with our good friend Tom Donnan, as we talk about things that are spiraling out of control, not just here in the United States, but really around the world. And we have been talking about the government efforts to force us into receiving the vaccinations and all that, and how one Ohio judge has made it part of his sentencing processes. Now, you know, at the end of the last episode, I just told a story about my military time, about how it could just be that he's making that choice. Hey, I'll be leaning on you if you want to get your vaccination. If not, then this is the sentence you're going to receive. And I used that same technique back when I was in the military, and I'm just tossing that out there as an example. And that's where we're going to pick up this portion of the interview as I finish up that thought and that story. If you want to hear it all, you got to go back and listen to the last episode. All right. Then we're going to go forward into, you know, how the government is just intruding in all areas of our life right now. So let's jump back into the interview now with Tom Donnan. It took him about a week, something like that, to get it all done. But when he got done, you know, I gave him a 4-day pass. Go, okay, here, I'm going to give you a 4-day pass because you busted your butt and I appreciate it. And I said, next time I catch you, though, there's not going to be any second thoughts. You're going straight to the commander. Goes, oh, no problem. It'll never happen again, Sarge.
Yeah.
But I saved his career. But he learned there is I allowed him to make his choice. Either we deal with this way or we deal with it this way. Which way do you want to do it? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know because I haven't checked it, but it sounds like what the judge was saying, you know, 90 days or we'll do 90 days PBJ, probation before judgment, $500 fine or whatever it might be, and you have to show me proof that you got your vaccination. So the guy could say, I'm not getting the vaccination. Okay, 90 days, boom, bye. Or yeah. He had a choice, you know. But, you know, like you said, I don't know if that is legal grounds or not. Yeah. The military environment that I was talking about is a lot different back then than it is today. Today, I'd probably be brought up for charges for, you know, abusing my privates or something, you know. But anyway, I think it might have been a choice, and the guy had to make his choice, the harsher punishment or go get his vaccination. But like you said, is this going to become more common that we're going to see?
Yes, that's what's troubling, is that you have somebody that is exerting an authority that they don't have to give. And it's not just this judge. It's happening in other places, too. And so I don't like this aspect of what's going on. Because, I mentioned, I would like to go on a cruise, but I don't want to have to do it if I'm vaccinated because I don't feel like I need to have it done. And so I'm going to wait it out because sooner or later, I think they're going to change their mind. But right now, now what's happening is that you got a divide, another divide. Can you believe it? Vaccinated or unvaccinated, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So yeah. I've had it to where some people have said to, you know, really got hostile towards me about not being vaccinated. And I'm probably better off than they are, right? Having had it twice. And I finally said, listen, you're discriminating against me. Right. And they finally kind of like shut up. But the point is that that's not a problem now. People are kind of like at odds about what have you been vaccinated? And if you haven't been vaccinated, then you put me at risk. No, I don't put you at risk, you know. And so I don't like this aspect because it divides us. This is the problem. So many different ways we're being attacked by division. We're Americans. You know, we need to encourage and help each other. We don't need to pressure them and label and judge people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they started with the, you know, you wear your mask. And if you see somebody outside not wearing a mask, you know, there were the mask wearers and those who didn't. So they already started the separation. Then when the vaccinations came out, so we still have to wear your mask, you know, while you're outside in public. And then say, okay, now if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear your mask. So people started not wearing their mask, and they're, you know,
for several weeks there. It was like, why aren't you wearing a mask? I've already been vaccinated. Oh, okay. Well, you should be wearing it anyway, because so I don't get the germs and, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on and on. And now with this vaccination passport thing, they're trying to come up with a legal way of doing that. It's just, and it all started with the executive orders. We talked about those before. An executive order is not law. The executive order is supposed to be from the president to his department head saying, this is how I want you to run your department. But now, starting back, I want to say Nixon Ford era, right in that area, Jimmy Carter, somewhere back in that area, suddenly it's like, the executive order is law. This is the way we got to do it. A president could tell the FAA, I want the airlines to be run like this. I want this policy instituted for the airlines for the safety of the public. Well, that suddenly has become the equivalent of law. How can you say something against it when the president said it has to be that way?
Yeah.
That's just supposed to be applying to the FAA only in that example. He could say, I want all federal government employees to wear masks. But instead, he said, I want mom and pop stores to wear masks. I want mom and pop stores shut down, type thing. We talked about this before, going into a store somewhere and says, you must have a mask on according to law. There's no law that says you have to wear a mask. Show me one on the books. It's an executive order, and that doesn't carry the weight of law. But speaking of government's overreach, we found out the government keeps track. This is back several years ago, that they keep track of every text message, every email message, every phone call we make. And it was all enacted because of the 9/11 attacks. But the courts ruled they could continue to flag suspicious activity, words about terrorism and things like that. But they just couldn't store all of the data beyond a certain time frame, like 90 days or something like that. I'm not positive on that. But still, Big Brother is watching us all the time and intruding in our lives and ways most people aren't even aware of. I mean, have you seen like where your TV or your microwave could be spying on you, and all that?
I was shocked. That was when I was on my way back from Florida. I came across a good YouTube, and that YouTube was this guy was talking about the technology. He was very up on it because he designs it, builds it. Right.
Oh, really?
And he was talking about how, they have things that's now called the mesh network, or Amazon calls it the sidewalk network. And so, we're used to the internet, right? Where it goes into the web and it's got an IP address and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Well, they are now designing every type of communication to have a two-way radio in it so that it can receive and send, and it's like these doorbell camera, mm-hmm. the Ring cameras, right?
Yeah.
Well, they have a Wi-Fi signal up to a half a mile. All right. And then, of course, it connects to apps and you can send it to other places. The thing is that they have devised so many different things, like including smart TVs, that if it and even sensors for outside lighting now have the technology in it so that they can send a signal. And it'll literally jump Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi across this net, this mesh. And so you can have it jump a half a mile, and it'll grab another device, and then that device will send it a half a mile, and so on and so on and so on, until it actually gets to where it needs to go. Now, we're used to the internet, but we're not used to a mesh, which is a local. It's kind of like a local thing, but yet still, it goes a long distance with the same purpose, and it has location tags on it, GPS tags. It has information tags, and this guy is like really saying, "Listen, people, you need to know that this is happening on your devices." Now, on my phone, I have a little screen that you can shortcut and turn things on and off. Right. So for a while there, I was deciding, well, I'm going to turn off my Wi-Fi signal, okay? Because I thought, well, let's just see. Well, that doggone thing kept on coming back on by itself.
Really?
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I didn't activated. So I had to go into the settings to turn it off so that it wouldn't come back on by itself. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what is going on with that? And the same thing was happening with the Bluetooth. And so the technology is getting like out of control because they're devising this. They know they're using it and they're not telling anybody that it's in there. Mm-hmm. That the where is the watchdog? The people that are the watchdog to prevent this privacy, it's not there. It's almost like they want it to be devised because it makes it easier to be able to keep track of people. Oh, yeah. And when, like with the smart TV, when you get an update, you don't know what that update is, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it's too smart for me anyway.
Amen. Yeah, I know, like, if I'm going over to the bank, there's a Target store near our bank, and inside the Target store is Starbucks. Right. And when I'm at the bank, a little thing pops up from Starbucks.
Yeah.
They know I'm in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really? I mean, I'm not even going into Target. I'm just driving past it. Bing. You know?
Yeah. Yes. That's part of the mesh. That is part of the communication where they see these devices and they're able to then they sent that to you. And so they know that you're there. I had mentioned this before when I was in Gatlinburg. I had been shopping for boots now, cowboy boots. I like cowboy boots. I just have a hard time buying them. So I got back to my hotel room about an hour later, and that store, that cowboy boot store, was on my Facebook page. And I'm trying to figure out, how did they know that I was there? And it came that my location device was on, right? So they knew precisely where I was and then generated, you know. So now at this network, this mesh, even Amazon is using this mesh network. And so I'm sure Google has got their fingers in there somewhere. And so our information is being collected and used and somewhere down the line, misused because you're not going to be able to buy and sell, right? So how are you going to evade this overshadowing technology that we have? It's scary what it is.
It is. You know, I remember, you know, because of my law enforcement background, I enjoy watching some of these how it really happened, like TV shows, and they'll talk about the detective work that went into the capturing the criminal. And several times it'll be, they track the subject, you know, the suspect, they'll look at the cell phone towers that they pinged off of, and they track his route all the way to where he was going. And I remember this one, this woman, I can't remember all the details, but she was claiming, you know, she was, you know, 500 miles away at the time of the murder type thing. And they got her cell phone. Yeah, well, she did. She wasn't pinging any towers in this area. And then they got looking a little closer at it, and her cell phone went off like the day before and then came back on the day after the murder, right? So it was off for 2 days. And they go, that's unusual because it had never been off prior to that, you know, other than maybe 15, 20 minutes resetting it or whatever. So they said, well, maybe, how long would it take her to drive down there? Well, her car, you know, wasn't passing through any, you know, the toll booths and things like that where the cameras would take pictures. So they said, okay, well, you know, and they found that she had a boyfriend. So they went and asked him, you know, has she used your car recently? He says, oh, yeah, she had it for 3 or 4 days. Said hers was in the shop. It happened to be those 3 or 4 days. There. So then they started tracking that car, and they found that passing through the toll booths and all that going down California. And you know, and then say, well, if she went this far, she filled up before she left. Somewhere in this area she had to get gas and stuff like that. And sure enough, they had her at gas stations filling up, you know. And so they just pieced it together, all because the cell phone stopped communicating to that network. That's what alerted them to it. Like, you know, and it just goes right along what you're saying. You know, this is just too much. You know, the government is definitely out of control. But it's just not the politicians that are trying to do all this controlling and stuff. You know, science has expanded into areas they have no business in either. And the attitude of the public, well, as long as they leave me alone and I get mine, whatever that may be, you know, I don't care what happens. You know, I know the Bible says, though, that in the last days, it'll be like the days of Noah. You know, the lackadaisical attitude, you know, Noah went to his son-in-laws and said, hey, you know, this is going to happen. I'm thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah for that story. But Lot went to his son-in-laws and was like, hey, you know, this is going to happen. You need to come with me. I was like, get out of here, you old man, you know, type thing. But, you know, Noah, he heeded the warning and saved his family. You know, and Jesus made constant references to, you know, in the last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah, you know, but there are things happening, as we've been discussing, that those days are here right now, even down to modifying people's DNA to create a sort of, you know, hybrid human type thing. I mean, you know, I remember back in right around 2000, I guess it was, when they cloned Dolly the sheep. Remember that?
Yeah.
Big uproar.
But, yeah,
you know, now they want to use the cell T cells of aborted infants to, you know, help someone who's paralyzed to walk again and all that. So that way abortion is good type thing, you know. But I mean, have you seen anything like that where they're trying to create some type of superhuman like Germany tried to do in World War II?
Yeah, this is another thing that's like way out of control. So I was coming back from North Carolina when I was listening to this YouTube, and it's by Billy Crone called The End of Humanity. And I had to listen to it a second time. And so the thing was, is that he's talking about these different things. He's the type of person that takes a lot of information and condenses it into single sentences and stuff, which is kind of like, it's good for a guy like me to be able to hone it in, because usually you have like a 15-minute conversation and it gives you one good bite out of it, you know? And so the thing with him is that he's talking about how they've gone way beyond what God would want us to see happen. No, so he talked about the transhumanism, because we've talked about that before, where they want to create a post-human species. Now, that should scare everybody. No, it's bad enough that AI is on the verge of being out of control. Now, do you want to have a new species, you know, and the potential for that? What is the potential for that? No, and so with that new species, what would that be like? You know, Jesus said in the days of Noah, like you said, it was going to be lackadaisical. Well, I think they're throwing caution to the wind with a lot of this stuff. Getting back to the thing with the COVID virus, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So the discussion that is hot and heavy right now is the gain of function. Well, I knew that this was a gain of function research because I had been looking into it last year, maybe even at the end of 2019. And I'm thinking, what in the world are they doing? Well, now it's coming out that they were playing God with this, you know, and it got away from them. At least I'm going to give them the benefit of a doubt, right? So the thing is that, you know, God doesn't take this stuff lightly. He starts to bring consequences and judgments. Well, when you look at what's going on in our world, we think it's chaos, right? Well, is it God ordained chaos or is it God allowed chaos? Mm-hmm. No, because when I'm reading 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, is that when they got out of God's will, stuff started to happen, amen, right? And especially when they went into idolatry, then God started pulling back and saying, okay, all right. And then he says, I've had enough. Yep. Well, is America on the verge of having God say it's enough, or these consequences going to continue? Is that's a good question for us to think about. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And there will come a point, I mean, I can't remember where it's at, but is dealing with the nation of Ephraim. And he said, you know, something along the lines of, you know, Ephraim has gone after other idols. Just leave them alone. In other words, don't even try and convince them to come back to me. Just let them go. Are we at that point where God's going to tell, just let the United States go. Just let it go. And as a society, we would then fall into, you know, chaos and turmoil. And oh, gee, we see that every night on the news, though, don't we? You
know? We do.
Riots in the streets and lawlessness, you know. And yeah, I think we can see that has happened. So have you reached the point where God is just like, bye, you're on your own. You voted me out of schools. You voted me out of government. You voted me out of, you know, hate to say it, but you voted me out of churches, you know, because of the you know, gay lifestyle and all that stuff. You're on your own. You think you can run it? Run it.
Yeah, go for it. Yep. All right, which brings me back to one of my favorite Psalms. It's Psalms 107, and it talks about the downhill slide until they got to the end of themselves. And one of the ones was is that this person was in prison behind bars, and they finally, I don't know how long it took, they finally realized, oh, I've messed up, and they cried out to God, and God quickly returned. Well, okay, so then that generation, that was a pivotal point. That person realized what the consequences of their behavior brought them to, and so that's when they decided that they were no longer going to do that, and they changed their ways. Now, Pharisees, right? The Pharisees were started because they realized that they had been under God's judgment too many times because they had moved away from the laws and the decrees, and they were going to make sure that that didn't happen again. Right. And so now we have in America, why did a lot of people come to America? Was so that they could practice their religious freedoms. Right. And so they came here. Now, they had to endure all that stuff that was in the Europe area. Right. And so they came here. But then what happens? You have first generation Christian. Right. And then you have second generation that doesn't, that hadn't lived that powerful experience of why they were doing it in the first place. And then you have the third generation that's even more blessed. And what happens is that they lose their roots. They don't understand why they had adapted this behavior. And this is where we're at now. We have had the blessings of God for a long time, and people have not realized why we are being blessed, and they have been turning away from it. And now people are falling. They are having all kinds of calamities come to them. And it's where we talked about this before, is that are they going to harden their heart and keep on going down the road, or are they going to turn and repent? Now, that's a huge thing. I got into a conversation with a person in my area just the other day, and I said, well, what is the biggest issue with God, right? It's sin. So sin has its consequences. Now, repentance is a spiritual act. You can't repent on your own, right? You have to have the Holy Spirit assist you in that repentance because it brings a spiritual change, right? That spiritual change is what starts you on the upward direction again.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. So as a nation, I don't see a lot of that happening. You know, I've looked into the camera, and when the red light come on, I had said that we need repentance. I've been saying this for years, and it's been going unheeded until the pressure gets so bad that people are deciding, yeah, this is so bad, I'm willing to change now. The problem is that it's taken a lot for them to get there. Now, we're hoping that people aren't going to let it get that far before they change.
Amen.
No?
Amen.
And so this is what we're trying to see happen, is that we need this, because without repentance, we're not going to see any healing of the land. So, but I was encouraged yesterday when I came across a Perry Stone video where a young evangelist in Virginia had been seeing healings taking place, right? So they're like really excited about that. So I have mentioned before, I've traveled with Pastor Phil Corbett over the last 11 years, and I've seen hundreds of people healed. Now, that's God out of the box. Praise God that he has got churches that are coming out of the box, because we need to see this happen. So we are going to see people that are going to need healing with what's going on. I just had two terrible stories about people who went into the hospital, and it was terrible. Actually, I know three right off the top of my head, three. Is that there was a veteran in Nevada that he was sick, and they brought him into the hospital, and he was sitting in a wheelchair in the hallway for 24 hours until his son came and got him and said, this is crazy, right? And so then the thing is that it seems like the system is falling apart. We got like a really good healthcare system, but something is wrong here, and people are going to need God to help bring healing. So that change in itself, but the main issue is the forgiveness of sins, and a lot of stuff gets changed when we enter into that. So what is happening? People are realizing why we move towards God in the first place, because he blesses us.
Amen.
All right? It's work, right? Right? To live by his ways is work.
Yeah, because you're going against society's dictates a lot of times.
Well, and that natural rebellious nature that is in every human being, you have to make a decision that you're going to move in his ways, and you have to say, no, I'm not going to follow that decision or that temptation. I'm not going to follow it. I'm going to follow God. And he blesses us. And why do we want that? Of course, for our children and for our grandchildren, Amen. You know, and for all those that are far off, as it says in Exodus 20, you know, God will bless. And so that's what we want to see happen. But it's fallen apart.
Yeah.
It has fallen apart in our nation.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Well, Tom, once again, we've run out of time. We could keep going on and on. And folks, there is absolutely no doubt we are living in the times that the Bible says indicates the last days and the soon return of Jesus. I truly believe, Tom, that it's going to happen in my lifetime before I pass. And I'm getting up there, right? You're way past me.
Way past that.
But Tom, if someone listening today has learned some things, as you just alluded to, made them realize, you know, we really are living in the last days, as the Bible talked about, and they want to make Jesus the Lord of their lives and to receive that forgiveness of their sins and their past and the promise of eternal life, can you lead them in the prayer of salvation?
Yes, that would be an honor. So let's pray. Dear Father God, I thank you for your son Jesus and the work he did on the cross. By shedding his blood, he paid the price for all humanity's sins. I want to tell you, Father, that I am a sinner. I am sorry for the pain my sins have caused you. Please forgive me. Now I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart and into my life, and I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Thomas, someone wanted to get in touch with you. How can they do that?
It would be a Gmail address, healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
Amen. Folks, I'll put all that down in the show notes below. But if you prayed that prayer with Tom, reach out. Let him know. Let me know. Email me at brotherbob@ftfm.org because we want to rejoice with you. I mean, praise the Lord. Now, if you prayed that prayer to receive Jesus as your Savior or to come back to him, if maybe you prayed that prayer when you were a young child and you just wanted to, you know, you left following that path of righteousness. So you want to recommit your life to the Lord and pray that prayer. Let us know, because we want to rejoice with you. This is the last of the last days. And when the switch is finally pulled, it's too late. It is too late at that point in time. So folks, that's all the time we have today. Tom, thank you so much for coming back on the program again.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. We always have a lot of fun. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. But for Tom, Don, and myself, this Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.